Moncrief on News Talk.
Joanna Fortune joins us once again for our parenting slot. Good afternoon.
Afternoon,
Joanna.
Sean.
Can you please help? We are parents to two boys, age 5 and a girl, 3. Pre-children, I would have exercised a lot, running and gym, and loved both as they helped me massively with my mental health and just as a social outlet. When the children arrived, this just didn't fit into my life anymore. Then COVID happened. Over the past 2 years, I've started running again, but wasn't really getting out as often as I would have liked. So in May, I joined our local running club. I usually run by myself, but on Wednesday evenings, interval training is on, and I like to go to that. It is the only evening I'm away from the kids for the bedtime wind down, and I'm always back to put them to bed. Sometimes the youngest will be asleep before I get back. My son hates me going. He dreads it. He talks about it all week that he doesn't like Wednesday because Mammy goes away. He's very anxious the whole time I'm away, and will ask his dad many times when I'll be home. He's always asked me, do I leave because I don't love him? He fills with tears frequently during the week on his countdown to the next Wednesday. I run at other stages during the week, and he doesn't seem to have a problem with me leaving when it's not close to bedtime. This was not an issue when I joined the club, just more recently, probably since September. My daughter doesn't seem to miss me at all. Have you any advice?
Oh, I mean, look, at my main advice, I'm going to open and close with it, is keep going. Do not stop your running. Do not give up your Wednesdays, because it's just, you know, you typically run alone, but Wednesday with the interval training, that's the social outlet. That's when you're connecting with others in the club and you're part of a community when you're in a club like that. It's good for your mental health. It's good for your physical health. And it's also just something you like. I think as parents, we feel, and there's a lot of it in this letter, the need to justify, I do it because it's my mental health, or I do it. You can just do it because you want to get out and have a life outside of your kids.
You're allowed fun. Yeah,
absolutely. And like, our kids never love the realization that we have a life or we have interests outside of them. They never go, fantastic, I'm so happy for you. But it is really good for them to realize their parents have a life outside of them. Mm. It takes a bit of pressure off. It also helps with permanence. We've talked about this before, that they see us as their parents going and returning. They can hold us in mind when we're not there and be held in our mind. It is good for them. So that's a green light for everyone out there to start socializing wildly, you know, that it is something that's good. But also, we're better parents when we have friends, when we've interests, when we've activities of our own. So definitely keep up the running. I think, you know, you can respond to him with acceptance and empathy, and accept, you don't like when I go on a Wednesday. I go and I meet up with other runners. They're counting on me. We're part of a team. He may well relate to that. He could be part of a team himself. Mm-hmm. You know, he's 5. He might be in GAA or something, you know, where he's familiar with turning up to training and being relied on that way. So relating to that, and just empathize, you know, that you're saying, I know it's hard, but you're with daddy and you guys can play a game. You can color, you can do whatever they want to do because you're not there and it's not your responsibility. But emphasize it's daddy and his playtime when you're gone, that you'll be back for bedtime, you know, that your group is counting on you, like I said, and distraction. Maybe leave him something of yours while you're out is the other thing I would think of, you know, like a little transitional object, just, you know, a little teddy that you've whispered things into and he can cuddle while you're gone. But also, he will get through this. The piece that's really, apart from all of that, that really stands out to me is that this is a recent protest.
September.
And he's 5. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, did he start school? Mm. And, you know, if not, he's moved just to senior infants and there's been change. And that's a big upheaval in a little life. So what if things are not really predictable and in your control in school or during your day, then you want things to be exactly just so when you're at home, because then you have some order and control. And it might be you going out on that one day before bedtime is a difference in the rest of the week. And he's picking on that. It's another reason I really wouldn't give it up, though, that you're going to prescribe this resistance. You're going to push through it. But just get curious about what's going on for him in school and how is he generally adjusting. This is either they've just happened or they're happening, but this is parent-teacher meeting season. Mm. And if it has happened and this didn't come up, but now you're maybe making connections, reach out to the teacher and say, I just want to, how are things going? How is he settling in? Mm. Because I don't think it's about you going running.
Yeah.
I think it's about something else and it's displaced onto that.
Yeah. Gosh, it is. Yeah, because as she said, the girl, I'm grand.
She's asleep.
Not
fine.
A bother. Yeah, it's fine. I'm just looking for some advice on how I can support my teenage son. He's 16 years of age and he's very self-conscious about his height and weight. He's small for his age and isn't particularly broad either. His size never appeared to be an issue for him when he was in primary school, but since transitioning to secondary school, he's become very aware of it, particularly when it comes to sports and girls. He came to me recently to say he's always comparing himself to his peers and that it's really getting him down. He's 5'5", I'm 5'7", my wife is 5'2", so there is a strong possibility that he might not grow much more. How do I help my son to accept his height and understand that it's not the be-all and end-all?
Yeah, do you know, we can often overlook boys' self-esteem challenges, image pressures they're under. But it's something, Sean, I hear a lot about. I work with a lot of teenage boys and this is a conversation that comes up time and again. And it's often linked to, you know, teenagers in general, but let's stick with teenage boys. They see versions of themselves on TV shows, you know, where this is a 16-year-old boy, but it's played by a grown
23-year-old,
a grown man and a very particular body type of grown man as well. But if you're being presented with that image as this is what you should look like at 16, then that is a problem. And also he's, you know, with a peer group who are all different shapes and sizes. They're not all huge, broad kids. There's no way they are, but he's just aware of comparisons. I'd also be curious, is he getting a bit of slagging or grief in school? Is that something that's going on? Or has he an interest in a sport he's feeling excluded from on the basis that he's not physically the same size as those who are making the team? Just a bit curious about that stuff. I also think, you know, in lots of ways you're going to be stating the obvious to him, but sometimes that is helpful. Never really appreciate it, but it can be helpful to say, you know, we're a smaller sized family. Like, no one in our family is exceptionally tall. And that's bodies coming in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
But maybe as parents, you can empathize and talk to him about, it is hard when everyone around you is a bit taller or a lot of them are. And just be really empathic about that. The other thing, though, is I'm curious, and because there's nothing in detail in this letter about it, but just as parents, if you're listening, what about other interests or things that he's good at? Like, what, there's a bit of, you know, girls and sports, but what else is going on in his world, his life? Like, what is he going on where he is feeling good about himself? Just the self-esteem piece of this, beyond height or, you know, what shape he is. There's just something for me about how is he feeling about himself in terms of, does he feel good about himself? Not about how he looks, but within.
Yeah.
How is his general self-esteem, confidence, and where does he really feel, oh, I'm happy in this zone? You know, like, has he a hobby, a thing where he's like, that's my thing and I love it? And if not, you know, when was the last time he had one? And could you reconnect him with something like that? Our teenagers, you know, they can lose interest and pull away from activities that as parents we know are really good for them and we'd really like them to keep up. But it doesn't mean you can't circle back to something. And it might just be somewhere where he can feel more, you know, more dominance, more prowess in a way that he's happy in an activity. Yeah. I would look at things like that with him.
Also as well, when you're 16, especially if you're a boy, so a lot of his peers, some of them might be the same size as him. Some of them are 6'3" and are wearing full beards.
Absolutely,
you know, because the rates of development are really various.
And I mean, he'll know that, you know, in a kind of intellectual way, he'll know that.
It doesn't make him feel any better.
But he's not going to feel any better about it. So, you know, as parents, when we try, sometimes when we go in with the rationale, when you're emotionally activated, that's not the part of your brain that you're leaning into. You're like, but how can I? And it's not like we're going to put him on a stretching rack and stretch the kid, you know. So at the same time, you're trying to get into, well, how do we feel good about ourselves? And I think, you know, as a family, you know, he's also, by the way, he's 5'5". You know, it's a healthy height, just to be clear about that.
Yeah.
It's just like you're saying, there's probably a cohort of kids in his group who are much, much taller by 16. But you're trying to normalize just every bodies are all different shapes and sizes. We say this all the time when we're talking about six-year-olds. It's not that different at 16. It's just that you're also trying to emphasize self-esteem And it has to come from somewhere, and it can't just be us parents, because they'll just go, well, you have to say that. You're
yes,
my parents.
Of course.
You know, really, they need to begin to feel it. And that doesn't come from how we look on the outside. I know people think, well, if I look different, I'd feel better. It actually comes from the inside out. And that's why it's important to praising effort over outcome from a young age, but also finding things that spark joy and doing them like a practice, really making them a daily, if not weekly, practice.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, an active thing. A lot of people are texting in about point out the footballer Messi and you know.
Also true.
I don't know if that, would that help really? Because
no,
you might go, well, I'm never going to be Messi.
I'm not Messi, because you're taking someone who's at the, you know, well, I don't play like that. So it was, you know, but at the same time, it's no harm to make him aware that actually bodies are all different shapes and sizes and it's not a limitation on what you can do. I'd be more interested in what he wants to do, what he likes to do. And the fact that girls are mentioned here, I'm wondering, has he had a bit of a rejection or had maybe feelings for somebody that chose somebody of a different body type? And he's doing that linking of, it's because I don't look a certain way. So I think it comes down to self-esteem, inside out kind of self-esteem.
Yeah. I've three children with two different fathers. My first two children have a great father who's very involved and active in their lives. My third child's father is not on the scene, nor will he ever be, as I escaped a domestic abuse situation about 3 years ago, thankfully. My two older children, Evie and Finn, and there's little asterisks besides them, so I assume they're not the real names, go to their father's house every weekend. Since my youngest daughter, Lily, turned 5, she has started to question why she can't go with her older siblings. She cries hysterically and feels left out. She's also started to ask questions about her own father, where he is, why doesn't he pick her up, etc. I honestly don't know what to tell her. Do I tell her the truth that her father is not a good man and she's better off not knowing him? It breaks my heart that she doesn't have a loving, supporting father like her older siblings. To be honest, I feel like a failure. Any advice would be appreciated.
I mean, you're absolutely not a failure. You know, escaping a dangerous relationship to establish safety for yourself and your children have a strong, brave mother in you. So you're not a failure, and you have not failed your daughter. You know, any failure in this situation is on her father's side. It's not on her mom, who's there doing all of the active parenting with her. I think, you know, look, when you say, do I tell her the truth? She was 2 years old when you left, when you got away. And she may not recall him in any kind of detail, good, bad or indifferent.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, but she, children, like, especially at this age when they're really in the throes of that imaginative, creative, magical thinking, they can paint a picture of somebody in their mind.
Yeah.
With lots of beautiful details and romanticized versions of people and idealized versions. So it's some way I'm going to say, don't tell her the truth, but tell her something. Okay, because you do need to manage this idea that there's this great daddy out there, like her sibling's great daddy, who's, you know, why can't I see him? At the time for the truth, quote unquote, you know, will come, but she's too young for all of that detail now because it simply isn't something she could process. So I think keep your answer when she asks you these questions empathic and honest. And you might say, look, your siblings are going to see their dad. When they're gone, you and I are going to have special fun time together. And do that. So the time, so that she's also, it is a special time for her too. You get to do something fun, something that's just for the two of you. And when she's asking, or if she asks about her dad, you could just reply, honestly, he's not able to be in our lives safely and he cannot be a good dad to you right now.
Yeah.
Okay, and that is the truth. And then, you know, I'm sorry about that. You're fantastic. I love being with you. You're a wonderful kid. So it's not her.
No, absolutely.
So you're covering a lot of bases in that, and you are being absolute. He is not able to be in our lives safely, and he cannot be a good dad to you.
Yeah.
And she needs to hear that. Because also it's
That'd be tough to hear, I imagine.
Oh, I think it's no matter
if your siblings have a
But that's it, exactly.
Great dad.
And so I'd also wonder, Sean, is there other male, potential male role models in your family? You know, like an uncle, you know, whoever, a granddad, anybody who's there who can represent a positive male role figure for her as well. And I think it is really hard in blended families. It is hard when, say, oh, we're going to see our dad and well, I'm not. That is hard. I don't know that you can make that easier. That's hard because it's hard. And I think sometimes we do have to accept that, well, yeah, it's not ideal, but it is what it is. So what can we do with what we have here? And it is to make that, I don't mean now spending loads of money and, you know, making it that the other two kids are going, I don't want to go see my dad. I can stay with you and have all these treats. Yeah. I just mean having that special fun time that it's just you and me. It's our time when it's just the two of us. Mm. And so she feels like she's getting something.
Yes.
As opposed to not getting what they're getting.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
It is tough, though. Yeah, it's really tough. But it was the right decision.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, so this mom did not fail here.
Yeah, absolutely. Our three-year-old is biting himself when he gets frustrated. This could be when we switch off the TV or when he's having a tantrum. It is alarming to us as we don't know if this constitutes self-harm or not. He goes red in the face, screaming, and then finally will bite down on his arm. He bites himself so hard that it often breaks the skin. When he goes to the creche, they look at me like I'm an awful mother because he has marks all over himself. I have told the creche about his behaviour at home, and strangely enough, he doesn't act like that in the creche. They say he is always well behaved and self-soothes in a healthy way if he gets upset. My husband and I have tried everything, but the biting still continues when he doesn't get his own way. It is awful to witness and it's hard for us to control it. Would you have any advice? Oh, that's an odd one that he's doing it only at home.
It is. But I mean, look, we've all had kids also go to creche or childcare who'll eat a bowl of spaghetti bolognese and not touch it in your house. So the fact that kids behave differently in different settings isn't. And I would love an example of a three-year-old who self-soothes calmly.
Yeah.
Because I'd really like to know what that is and what that means. It's entirely possible that he contains frustration when he's not with you and you see it more because you're the safe space to fall apart in. That's entirely possible. A lot of our children will do that. They will be bothered all day, but they don't want to show it because they want to be good and they want to please the adults around them. And then they get home and sure, you're going to love them no matter what. So they can't contain anymore. And it's like having a tightly wound spring, pop goes the lid and you get the spillover from that. So that's also possible. It is, though, a very particular behaviour. And the question, is it self-harm? The way I'd look at it, because I think when people think of self-harm, they think of, you know, a kind of a cutting or a teenage behaviour or something like that. But actually, it's self-injurious in that he's doing himself harm.
Mm.
Okay. It is also sensory-seeking behaviour because it's very proprioceptive, which is just a fancy word for saying deep pressure input from the skin, sending a message. Like, you imagine that, you know, if you're very upset, and I don't think you have to be a certain age for this, and you, what you read, some of us, not everyone, but some people really want a tight, squeezy hug.
Yeah.
Just to
feel,
okay, that calms me down. That whole idea, that's kind of proprioceptive input. So the biting, because it's coming when he's frustrated, it builds, and he bites. So he's 3 years old. He's very young. He's still developing verbal skills to express himself. And this is just a way to release frustration and tension, at least how it sounds here. So it's a way of self-stimulating, if you want, or to regulate his sensory needs. I'd be really interested in how much outdoor time he has and whatever it is, increasing it a good 10 to 20%. When you get him home from creche, a little run outside. If you have a garden, fantastic. If you live near a green area, use that. But a little run around, even 15 minutes before you get in, just a bit of sensory input like that as well. I'd also, because you're citing TV and in a tantrum as examples of when this happens, they're both examples of high stimulation. So watch him and see if you can see him on the way up. Sometimes that's a blink and you miss it moment with a three-year-old, but just see if you can identify a pattern. Interrupt the biting by gently picking him up, holding him tight, swaying him, and see if you can step outside with him in your arms. Then nurture, lots of nurture and soothing on the hurt afterwards, and that you take care and you talk about him being safe and not hurting himself. There's a couple of little very quick play activities I might throw in there when he's in the midst of this, because it's hard to get close to a three-year-old who's in the middle of one of those tantrums and biting without getting hurt yourself. Just put a cotton ball or a feather on the floor, get down, lie on your tummy and just blow it over to him. He might ignore you the first time, get it, bring it back, repeat. And eventually he will blow it back to you. He might throw it back to you or kick it back to you, but over and back. Because if you, basically when you blow a feather over and back, you're taking a deep breath and exhaling. That's, I mean, you don't say to a three-year-old, take a deep breath there now and calm down. You have to do it. So you could do that in an over and back way. You could also get out a little bottle of bubbles. As the adult, we always hold the bottle of bubbles. We don't hand bubbles to three-year-olds. But you can blow through the wand and then pop all the bubbles, get him to pop them. And then you hold it and have him blow, because again, blowing bubbles is just a way of taking breath in and exhaling and blow all the bubbles, get him into doing things like that. And then you can pop them, stamp on them, pop them with your fingers, clap them with your hands, punch them with your fists. Different ways of releasing tension, but using breath control in the middle of it. Put on some music and start dancing. And then even if he's just screeching and roaring, he can screech and roar to the tempo of the music. But the rhythm and synchrony are what you're trying to use to trigger those parts of the brain associated with emotional regulation to quite literally get him back into sync. Having a couple of play techniques, because when you say we've tried everything, it sounds like you're trying and moving on and trying and moving. You have to be consistent with how you respond to it. And I don't know what his speech is like. I'd be curious about that. But as his vocabulary builds and his verbal expression builds, you should see this stuff decrease. He's 3 years old. If he hasn't had his three-year-old developmental check, I'd be calling them up and just saying, I have a behaviour that's causing us a problem. We'd love to link in for the three-year-old developmental check and talk to you about it and get some input on that.
Yeah. Just going back to the 16-year-old who isn't as tall as he'd like to be. One texter says, my father's sisters did try to stretch him. He was 5'6", but managed to pull my mother, a 5'8" beauty, because he had a great sense of humour and had inner confidence.
Which, that's what it's all about, is the inner confidence. Yeah.
Joanna, thanks a million.
Thank
as
you.
Ever, Joanna Fortune there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.